Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720 in Chicago. And that was Call It Home from the new album by the California Honey Drops, Call It Home Volumes 1 and 2. And on the phone is co-founder Lesh Wierzynski. How you doing, Lesh?
I'm great. Thanks for taking the time and interest in us. Appreciate it.
Like I said, you're just coming out of New Orleans, aren't you? You were at Jazz Fest?
Yeah, we were just down there a couple of days ago, but, you know, we're on the road, so it's a different city every day. Yeah. We played Asheville last night, and we're in Raleigh this morning.
Okay. So tell the listeners who don't know, tell us a little about the California Honey Drops, how the group got together, busking, and tell us a little one-on-one history of the Honey Drops.
Well, you know, we got together as a busking group. We had done a lot of busking before, and we had kind of moved on to playing, you know, playing regular gigs. We missed busking. So we started busking again with the California Honey Drops. That was kind of like our little busking band. We were kind of, when we had a little bit of free time, we would busk again because we enjoyed it so much. But then we started noticing that people really liked the band. So it kind of took over our lives. And, you know, we crowdfunded most of the albums. We have been crowdfunded. And, you know, kind of very grassroots type of thing. You know, we used to play a pizza parlor. Our first gig was at a pizza parlor. And we'd play there every Wednesday for lunch. And they threw us a giant fundraiser and helped us record our first record. And you know, we started touring around. And then the most recent thing that happened, I think, that kind of helped us out was that Bonnie Raitt approached us to write a song of ours. I mean, to play one of the songs that I wrote. So, and then took us out on tour with her. So, you know, and that kind of propelled us into the next level and doing bus tours and stuff like that.
And we heard her there on Call It Home. She sang on that track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
This is like your seventh, is this your seventh CD?
Yeah. You know, that's not even counting the ones you don't know about, the unreleased ones.
I've heard about those, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, they're out there. They're out there for sure.
Now, the band's roots are in the Bay Area. I know you bust at some BART stations and stuff like that, but personally, especially for our listeners here in Chicago, tell us about your journey. I know you were born in Warsaw and spent some time in Chicago, so tell us about your path.
Yeah, well, I was born in Warsaw, Poland, that's right, in 1982, and my parents brought me here as a little kid, and yeah, we settled in the Chicago area first. You know, and I lived in Chicago until I was 11, almost 12 years old.
What part of Chicago?
Yeah. We lived all over. We were moving like every year at a certain point, I remember. So we lived all over Chicago. And we eventually lived in South Evanston, kind of like right on the Chicago border. That was the last place we lived before we moved.
You went from Chicago to college. You went to Overland. Tell us what happened after you left Chicago.
Oh, after I left Chicago, I moved to the D.C. area. My dad, you know, had a government job. My parents are journalists, so we came to Poland as political refugees. I mean, we came to the United States. We left Poland as political refugees, and my parents were journalists.
Well, I didn't know that.
So that, yeah, that's how we ended up here. They were dissidents, so they weren't allowed back. So to Poland until, you know, the regime changed, and we eventually moved to the D.C. area where my dad worked for, you know, Radio Free Europe. Stuff like that, you know, stuff they had back in the day during the communist era. And I went to college in Oberlin where I met two of the bandmates that we founded the band with, the California Honey Drops, with Nansamba Sensalo and Ben Melman, who is still in the band.
Wow, I didn't know that about your folks and stuff. Was there music around the house?
My dad was really into New Orleans jazz, especially Louis Armstrong, Sidney Bechet were his favorites. So, a lot of the music that we ended up playing, it definitely stems from my upbringing. We had that one CD on, and that's the reason I started playing the trumpet in the first place, was because, you know, listening to so much Louis Armstrong, I was like, yeah, I want to play the trumpet.
And how many pieces are in the band?
We got, right now we're traveling with a 7-piece band.
And you'll be bringing the group to Chicago May 11th at the Concord Music Hall?
Yeah.
And you've played Chicago.
We're excited. Chicago's always been good to us, so we're really excited to be back in Chi-Town. Mm-hmm.
And I know you studied under Marcus Belgrave. Tell the listeners, I mean, didn't he play with Ray Charles and what you learned? Was he a teacher of yours at college?
Yeah. He was a big influence and a great teacher. He was just a wonderful, warm soul. He was kind of one of those teachers that, you know, there's the type of teachers that scare you and make you practice real hard. And then there's the type of teachers that, like, kind of are more nurturing. And when you're around them, you feel comfortable. And you always play best when they're around. And that's kind of the type of teacher Marcus was. He was the type of teacher that when he walked in the room, everybody started playing better. You know, he played with Ray Charles. He played with Charles Mingus. And he was kind of the, you know, really like the jazz ambassador of Detroit for many, many years. In his later years as he was teaching at Oberlin, he lived out in Detroit. And, you know, he had a long, you know, he was associated with Jerry Allen and people like that in Detroit, yeah.
What'd you learn from him?
What I learned from him? Well, you know, we'd spend a lot of time just playing together. You know, he would play piano and I'd play trumpet, and then I'd switch and I'd play piano and he'd play trumpet. So we would just kind of go back and forth. But like I said, I think the main things I learned from him was just to keep an open mind musically. And, you know, Marcus was cool in that he had a good sense of time. And playing just with him, trading back and forth, you know, you had to keep your own pulse. So that's something I definitely took from him. Just keeping the rhythm going and you're playing. But, you know, he taught me a lot, not just about playing, but just about how to approach music, how to be a human being and stuff like that. He was a great guy. And, you know, we miss him a lot.
And your voice, kind of, you have that soul, like, you know, I don't like to throw out compare. I mean, kind of a Simply Red soul voice. How did playing the trumpet and tones, how did that affect your singing or not? Was it just two separate things?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of me, your concept of music is, you know, affects every part of it. So I've always loved singers. I've always listened to singers. When I was learning to play the trumpet, I was always emulating singers. You know, I love Billie Holiday, especially. And I loved Ray Charles. And so I loved emulating singers on the horn. So one of the beauties of the horn is that you can make those vocal sounds. And I loved trumpet players that did that. All the trumpet players in the Ellington Band, you know, that were emulating singers as well, you know, so, and trombone players, and just all the instrumentalists, the more vocal you can make it, the better. So eventually I was like, hey, I want to learn to sing, and I started getting really into Ray Charles, and that was kind of one of those things that, you know, Marcus had played with Ray Charles, so I was always asking him about Ray, and, you know, I just started learning how to sing, and I took some lessons, and a moment came where I was like, wow, if I really want to sing, I got to learn how to sing. I can't. If it's not something you grow up with, you got to learn how to do it. You can't just jump into it. So I started studying the voice, too. And, you know, just applying all those. I've been listening to singers for so long in such great detail that stylistic aspect of it, I feel like, came pretty easily. The technical aspect was a long way, with a lot of work put in, a lot of work and hours put in to making that work.
Bobby Bland, Johnny Adams, you like any of those guys? I'm just thinking of...
Those are my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Bobby Bland. You know, I love the singers that you can really understand, that tell the story, and you can really understand it. And they put the story out slowly and deliberately in that way. And so Bobby's the king of that, you know. He really knows how to communicate an emotion without really doing too much, you know.
What was he always doing at the end there with that? You mean that? All? I'd seen him a couple times. He always did that little riff at the end of his thing.
Oh, his little snort.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he used to have that kind of scream that he would do. You know, that kind of gospel kind of shout thing that he would kind of get into. But as time wore on, and you know. It just kind of became a snort, but it became kind of his. You know, that was his signature move.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
Nothing you want more as an artist than like your little signature move.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, he made that work for him. That just goes to show how good he was. That you could just snort in the middle of a song and everybody still loved it. You know, because he was that good.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with a little bit more from the California Honey Drops, Call It Home, Volume 1 and 2. It's out now on Tubtone Records, and they will be here in Chicago on May 11th at the Concord Music Hall, so don't go away on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. We're with frontman, co-founder Lesh Wierzynski of the California Honey Drops, and that was Those Days from Call It Home Volume 1 and 2. Set up that song. Tell us about that song, Lesh.
Well, that song, you know, is about missing. It's about missing home, or it's about just dealing with change in general, and watching the place that you grew up in or watching the place that you live in just change before your very eyes, and realizing that, you know, those times are gone. And it was also kind of very inspired by a Chicago group, by the Impressions, and by the string arrangements that were on all those early Curtis Mayfield records and stuff. So and Johnny Bones, our saxophonist, kind of wrote a string arrangement for it, and just kind of turned it into like an old school soul thing. So that was kind of our tribute to that sound, that Curtis Mayfield sound.
Curtis Mayfield, a force, a complete force, really was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you study that stuff? I mean, you like on the bus or at home, you listen to a lot of that, like Chicago soul?
That's all we listen to. I live under a rock of 1972 music, you know, and that's all anybody in this band listens to. We listen to everything from, like, you know, New Orleans music from the 20s and 30s to all that old soul stuff. And, yeah, you know, you study it. You listen to it. You get ideas from it. You get inspiration from it. And, you know, that's where that track came from, our love for all that stuff.
I saw you last year at Jazz Fest at House of Blues. Did you play there again this year?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We just did that.
And, you know, we've talked in this interview about kind of your DIY roots and stuff. And so somebody out the fairgrounds told me about you and stuff. So I really didn't know that much. And I went, and the place was packed. And I talked to some people from Rockford, Illinois, who were there. And you've got a really strong road following. Where does that come from? I mean, do you get a lot of airplay? The place was like...
No, we do. We don't get a lot of airplay. I mean, that's why I laugh. Yeah. That's just a joke. We don't get a lot of airplay. We don't get a whole lot of love from, like, the media in general.
Well, you're on Nocturnal Journal.
So I appreciate when we do get a little love. But the reason why people love the live show, it's just a different experience every time, and we connect with the audience each time, and each night is different, and it keeps people coming back. And, you know, we kind of play music for the purposes of connecting with people and for the purposes of celebrating and healing, you know, and that's what music is all about. So we provide that experience. And, you know, in these days where bands are all about like a light show and like playing with pre-recorded tracks and playing the same show every night, you know, I think you're going to get a really different experience when you come to see us. And I think that's why we have such a dedicated fan base.
This woman I was talking to last year, she ran a clothing store in downtown Rockford, and she implied that there were people. Is it like a dead thing? Do people follow you around to other shows? She said she's seen you in a lot of different places. Do you have a group that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There's people that pop up. Uh huh. Oh
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not to that. It's not on that scale. But yeah, we have fans that follow us all over the place. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, like I said,
it's an experience type of thing, and it's different every night. So it's the type of thing that you can see three nights in a row and see a completely different show and have a completely different experience. Never the same twice. And, you know, that's what keeps people coming back.
So Dan Long, we'll get the camper van. Let's see, May 11th, Concord Hall. Then May 12th, Minneapolis, Cedar Cultural Center. May 17th, Harlow's in Sacramento. And May 19th, the Fillmore in San Francisco. Boy, that's a great gig. That's your home turf.
That's our home turf.
Yeah, right. How'd you connect with Bonnie? How'd Bonnie find you? How'd you find Bonnie Raitt?
She found us, found one of our songs that she wanted to record. She wanted to record Here Comes Love. And so she wanted to see us live and just meet the band. And so she came to one of our kind of underground warehouse shows in the Bay. And she contacted our management, and she was like, "Do y'all have any shows?" And we were like, "We don't have any official shows, but we're playing this thing off the grid. So why don't you come see us?" And she came down,
checked out the band. We got to meet her, hang out.
She was a super cool, sweet lady, and she said, "Hey, can I record the song?" And of course, I said, "Of course, you can record the song." And you know, that was, and then I didn't hear about it for a while, and then she asked us to open for her, to go on tour with her. So we did a couple, over the last couple of years, we did a bunch of months of touring with her. And, you know, that she really helped propel us to, like, a different level of respectability, especially, and helped us get a little bit more traction with people, because kind of people have always kind of shrugged us off. But, you know, once Bonnie Raitt started saying that these guys are good, everybody was like, "Oh, yeah, these guys are good," you know?
Yeah.
Because that's the world we live in. You know, you need somebody else to tell people what to think and what's good. A lot of people have trouble making up their own damn mind.
Yeah, right. Did you support Alan Toussaint, too? Did you go out with him?
We didn't go out with him, but we did support him a couple times. And we did Dr. John. We've done Buddy Guy, B.B. King. But Bonnie Raitt, you know, we were on tour with her night in, night out, you know, for a long time.
Did she give you any lessons about the road? Did she give you any advice?
I did take one thing. You know, a lot of the cats in Bonnie's band are sober.
Yeah.
And I actually, yeah, that definitely had an influence on me. I stopped drinking completely on the road these days, so I don't drink at all anymore. And, just keeping your health, you know, that was definitely something I took from her. But also, you watching her night in, night out, and watching her band, and she would come in and sing with us.
There was a lot of musical things we learned, too.
And it didn't have to be,
she didn't have to say nothing. She was always by our,
she would kind of stand by the stage every night we played and just danced and sang along. So we had a pretty casual relationship, and she would just pop into our dressing room every time we were warming up and sing along with us and stuff like that. So she's not the type of person that's going to tell you stuff, but you can just learn by watching and being around her and watching. And we would watch her show every night and just watch and learn and hang out together and pick up little things from one another. And that's kind of the way the learning process goes. It's not so much like, "Son, I want to tell you something," you know?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come and wrap it up. We're talking about the California Honey Drops. We're talking about their new record, Call It Home, Volume 1 and 2. It's two CDs. And we'll be back after this on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720 in Chicago. And that was Tell Me I Wanna Know from the California Honey Drops, Call It Home, Volume 1 and 2. Les, tell us about that song.
You know, that song was a kind of quintessential Honey Drops song in that we didn't really rehearse it before. We literally figured it out on stage. I had this little guitar riff. And we had a gig where we were missing our bass player. And I was like, "Okay, what's a song that we can do without the bass player?" So I just started this little guitar thing up, just thumping along. And I started just singing some easy riffs that everybody could kind of like figure out together. And so that song kind of took form on stage. And then over time, we kind of honed it in to something that we could record. But it was just like, you know, it's just a little riff song, you know. It's just something that everyone can kind of pick up real quick that you can jam on without having too much of a plan, and you can get the audience involved, get them singing along. And so that's what the Honey Drops are all about. It's all about spontaneity and creating stuff with the crowd. And that's my song.
You guys are really great. I really encourage people to come out May 11th at the Concord Music Hall here in Chicago. The whole theme of like I said, it's two discs, and it's about home, and it's about sense of place. What made you go in that direction? And we've talked a lot about on the show on and off over the years about sense of place and the meaning of home. And one thing I remember talking about is a place isn't a place until it's remembered. So, I mean, what is home to you?
Well, to me, the reason why we started, the songs started coming out was because kind of our sense of place as a band has been very threatened. You know, the Bay Area has been undergoing such a, you know, a skyrocketing of prices with gentrification, with the tech thing going on there, that most of the people in the band have all had to move, you know. We've all had to move further and further out just to afford a place to live. And, you know, that situation kind of got me thinking about my own past, you know, which is moving around. I've always moved around a lot as a kid, and I really felt at home there in the Bay for a while. And now having that kind of being taken away, I think brought up all the old memories of moving around and kind of not being sure who I was, and not being sure if I was Polish or American or where, you know, or where by, you know, just changing schools every year or something like that, you know, just kind of gets you thinking about all those things. So I think I've always thought about that a lot, and the album kind of reflects that. And I in the album, I kind of go through a lot of different versions of what you might consider to be home. And the perspectives on the album also, I think, is worth noting, aren't just all my own. You know, there are other people's too. There, you know, I kind of, when I started getting bummed out about the whole process of maybe having to leave the Bay, you know, I started thinking about my parents and the way they had to leave the places that they lived and the changes that they had seen going through in their lives. You know, my dad was born before World War II in Warsaw. So, you know, he's seen his whole city get burned to the ground and razed, you know. So, you know, that kind of made my trouble seem small. So I tried to expand the point of view on the record to kind of offer really a more hopeful vision of what you might want to call home, you know, instead of dwelling on the fact that things are always changing and there's nothing you can do about it and you're going to lose whatever you call home. I tried to focus on the ways that you're going to find home, you know.
Well, that's a really...
Wherever you go.
That's a really great answer. That's a really great answer. I mean, does home become... I've moved around a few times, too, even, you know, recently as an adult, but does home become a physical thing, or does it become a memory, a mental thing, you know? I don't know.
I mean, definitely what you said earlier, that it isn't a place, until it's remembered, there is a truth in that, you know, and often you remember it, and you're grateful for it, not in the moment, but later.
Right.
When things change, you know, and, you know, that's just one of our weird follies, one of the follies of human nature, I think. But you know, what I've come to over time and what I think I'm trying to, or I guess what I've tried to come through and what I try to get the songs I wrote, I write the songs to inspire me, you know. They're not things that I figured out, but they're things that I say to myself to kind of move forward. So, you know, and a lot of the songs on record try to encourage, I'm encouraging myself to find home in every moment and find love and peace and happiness in every moment as it comes along, because that's really your only option.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, the world is a changing place, an ever-changing place, you know?
I mean, you got to get the record. I mean, two discs, but Only Home I've Ever Known, we didn't play that. Silicone World, you know? I mean, it's a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What... This is such a fun band. You still have Washboard? Tell the listeners what the instrumentation is for people who want to come out and see you May 11th at the Concord Music Hall. What's the instrument?
Oh, yeah, there's seven people now. So you have a clarinet, a saxophone, a trumpet, guitar, and then we always bring out, well, there's a tons of random percussion, including a washboard. We have congos, you know, conga drums, bongos. We got, you know, we got piano, we've got bass, you know, we've got everything that's from gut, you know, kind of like gut bucket jug band style music to, you know, more refined sounds of you know, 70s kind of like soul and rhythm and blues and stuff as well. So, you know, you have all kind of, you're going to get hit with like multitude of eras of music in one night.
Hey, somebody sent
a lot of probably more variety than you'll get from any other band, I would say.
Somebody sent me a video. I think it was Friday. Were you doing a video shoot in New Orleans? I think it was right by Toulouse, kind of not far where I stay when I'm down there. Did you?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah,
what was that about? It looked like you were on a carriage. Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, they put us on this carriage, And they told us to play, and then they recorded it. It was pretty funny. It was a good time, though. You know, they some guys do this video shoot where they put bands on a carriage, and they kind of mic you up. They stick a bunch of mics up your clothes and stuff, or they disguise them somehow, and then they take a video of you on this carriage playing your tunes, playing your jams and jamming, and then they put it out on the internet. So that should be out soon, hopefully, if it all went well.
I love that.
That was a blast. It was really fun.
They should do it on the L here in Chicago, you know? Put you guys on the L and you can play. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, on the L. It would.
Well, thank you.
Bring back some memories for me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Lish. Give us all the details, how people can find your website, find the record, stuff like that.
Oh, all that stuff is on the internet. EAHoneyDrops.com, baby.
Okay. Okay, travel safe. That's Lish Wyrzynski, the lead man, co-founder, right, of the California Honey Drops?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Call It Home, Volume 1 and 2. It's out now. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you May 11th in Chicago.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking the time and interest in us. We really appreciate it.
Love you guys. Thanks.